Hey guys, welcome to Bowler's Grind. I'm your host, Marshall Kennebrew, and today we have on co-host Kyle Michalowski, and we are just talking about bowling. We are talking about the summer recap of the leagues that we bowled in. We're talking about the fall leagues that are coming up, and we're talking about just plans and goals that we have personally, how we intend on getting better, and lastly, just a couple different tournaments that are coming to town in the next week. So we hope you guys enjoy the conversation. Okay. Yeah, so I bowled the Thursday league, and it was ran by Reggie Esquerda, and his whole family, his wife and kids, and his son just shot a 300 the last week, so that was pretty cool. But for me, it was almost like a weekly tournament, just because every week there was either someone shooting a 300 or the high pot was, you know, 290 or above. So for me, it was a really good feedback just to kind of put myself up there with some of the top bowlers in town, challenge myself to work on a couple things as well, get a little bit better. But like I said, I took a lot of things away from it that were pretty positive. I'm going to kind of change up my plans for the fall because of a couple things. I'll get into that in a little bit. But I just wanted to recap how this summer league went for me. I raised my average up a little bit. I think it was at like a 166 or 7 before the year ended, so not terribly excited about that, but at the end of the day, I'll be honest with you, I feel like I've got a lot more tools in my bag than I did the last league that I bowled. This is my first complete league ever, because the last league I bowled, the Sundown or Sunday Fusion League at the South Point, that ended at the end of the year because of COVID. So this was nice to kind of get through a full season, just kind of learn all the different rules and things that go on with a league, and kind of get to, you know, get into the sweepers and such. But like I said, my biggest takeaway was that there are a lot of good bowlers in this town, and if you want to compete with them and, you know, put your money down on the table and really feel like you got a good chance each and every week, you got to be like on top of your game.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely a thing. You gotta repeat shots and match up to the house shot. That's where I struggle at league, because I don't focus on matching up to the house shot. I focus on bowling good on sports shots. So I don't focus too much on league. That's why I didn't do any summer leagues or anything. This upcoming season, I'm planning on doing just a sports pattern league, and then I'll sub a regular. Doing a league kind of hinders my game because I'm so focused on sport and focused on competing with the guys that are at the top, that when you bowl the people who bowl really good on house shots, you have to like focus on what balls are good for that, what layouts are good, how you should throw it for that. As when you bowl on sport patterns, you're focusing on the exact opposite. Everything's basically backwards, and so I'm spending this whole fall to just basically focus on sport. And I'll sub on the pattern or on the regular leagues every once in a while if I can get in, probably Tuesday night most of the time, just because it matches up with me, and go from there. What about you? What are your plans for the fall?
So for me, my plans for the fall are to get my legs in prime shape. So I would say that in the, 12 to 16 months that I've been bowling, I would say 90% of the effort has been understanding the game of bowling, whether it's YouTube videos, talking to people, practicing, 10-pin. You know, there's so many things that I've had to, like, develop as well as try to compete with other bowlers. And one thing that I feel like I've neglected is that other 10%, which is strength training, conditioning, getting my legs just primed to be able to handle, like, you know, 6, 9, 12, 15 games. And back to your point, be able to have repeatable shots. You know, it's sport patterns are not only more challenging, but they're more daunting. It's more daunting task to have to go through the gauntlet of some of these tournaments. So instead of going into these tournaments kind of already you know, three steps back, whether it's skill wise, consistency wise, pattern wise, and leg strength training. My focus this fall is going to be just to get my legs going, you know, tracking my running, tracking my squats, deadlifts, flexibility, all those things, as well as practicing my sport and practicing my typical house shot. For me to be focusing each and every week on something that is, I would say, I wouldn't say it's detrimental to my game, because I feel like learning, you know, what would you say is a good pattern that would resemble a house shot, for example? Because there's times, sometimes, where a certain length of a sport pattern would resemble a house shot, right?
So that's usually a 40 feet and like 5-to-1 or something where it resembles a house shot but isn't a house shot. Like, I don't know if you remember the scratch balls and babes thing that was also handicapped. Like, they did two different divisions and played a certain area, it was like a house shot, but if you played anywhere else, it wasn't. And I can't remember the name of the pattern. But yeah, that played exactly what...
If that was the scratch one, that was one that I didn't get a chance to go to. But if that's the type of pattern that you're saying that would, like, kind of rival house shot, there's going to be certain times where these patterns are going to be popping up, or we're going to want to maybe prepare and, you know, maybe just sub three nights in a row or a couple nights in a row. But like I said, other than that, if you're going to be trying to focus on bowling big tournaments, weekly tournaments, as well as becoming a better athlete, there's nothing wrong, in my opinion, focusing on those things and having league be the back burner. You know, like, so many times this summer, and even last or what was it, a league ago, so it's like a year ago when we had that one Sunday, I would go all week neglecting the gym because I wanted to bowl, and then I would recover from bowling, and I would almost have this excuse in my brain of like, the gym can wait because I need to save up my strength to bowl. It was almost like a stupid excuse that bowling almost was first. And you know, that's all fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, like, if your balance isn't there, you know, your velocity is going to go down. Like, I've noticed so many things in my game not be consistently good, and it just starts with my legs. It starts with my legs and conditioning. So I'm going to take more responsibility this fall, take care of that, as well as, like I said, I'm probably going to sub as much as half of the amount of weeks is what the league is. But for me to feel obligated each and every Thursday, for example, or Wednesday, to show up, where some weeks my knee hurts, or some weeks, you know, I don't want to push it, and I just actually would rather maybe take 3 days and go to the gym. You know, like, for me, I think that's the best case scenario for me. But you know, that's debatable. Some people would say, I guess it's always good to be a part of a league. You know, I don't know if it's my ADD or just the fact that I like to get in and out, like the gym. But you know, when I go to the game works, for example, for an hour, and I get an hour of sport pattern practice, then I probably get 5 or 6 games of working. And a lot of times in league, you know, I'm there 4 hours, and you know, it's a great time, good people, but it's about, you know, your time at the end of the day, you know, the commute there, the time spent, time waiting. Let's just talk about that. I mean, like, if you're an impatient person like myself, sitting around waiting and watching other bowlers bowl, it just doesn't do it for me. And that has nothing to do with leagues per se, but at the end of the day, you want to enjoy what you do. That's why we bowl, that's why we are bowlers. So there are certain aspects of the game that I feel like you can do while also, you know, becoming a better bowler without having to lose track of time each and every week. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, no, I agree, because like, we're luckily in a position where we have the flexible stuff to do when we're, so it's a cost, time cost thing. So like, if we're not bowling efficiently, then we're wasting our time, because we could be doing Uber for 3 hours, or we could go practice for 1 hour and do Uber for 2 hours. We could have made the money we're gonna bowl for league and more, and over the full season, you gotta count that out. And that's why it just doesn't make sense for us. Like, other people don't really have that option, so it makes more sense. And also, some of them have grown up with bowling league, so it's kind of praised as this big thing. But to people, to some of the newer people who don't bowl, haven't bowled since they've grown up, league isn't really that shiny of a thing to us, because it's like pretty much a time sink, and over the whole season we're not making as much money as like we would at a tournament or something, so it just doesn't make sense to us.
Right. And you know, and like, there's sometimes I've heard other bowlers be a little bit upset, you know, especially maybe this year, I think when we got our payment for the half season that we did in that Sunday league, but like, some people are surprised that they didn't get back, you know, as much as maybe they would have gotten in a tournament or what their full investment was. But you know, if you understand what these leagues are, you read the rules and you read the literature, like, they're not meant to either pay out a lot or even, you know, a lot of them are going to be top heavy, but every league's going to be different. So I guess what I would say, if you do enjoy the league, if you do enjoy the camaraderie and all that, join a league that makes sense for your style of play. You know, don't join the most competitive league in town expecting the highest payout unless you expect to be one of the top three teams. And if you want to be in a league that's a little bit more fun, you know, probably go to a league, I don't know which leagues these would be, but maybe a morning one or something that, you know, the averages aren't going to be as just, you know, so much of the killers in town, and you can really just go out and enjoy it and treat it as just a fun time. But again, just someone that looks at my week as someone who's trying to be as efficient as I possibly can be, I asked myself, because there was a time I even thought, you know, when I was new at bowling and I enjoyed bowling one league, I was like, man, I would like to bowl two leagues or three leagues. And like, if you really look at the time spent on paper, you know, 4, 8, 12 hours per week in a league, depositing money for the lineage and the payout, man, unless you really love that team and that environment, you'd be better off paying your hourly at the GameWorks for $10. For that first 30 minutes, you could practice splits, you could practice 10 pin, 7 pin, things that you struggle at. And then that last 30 minutes, you could still get your set in on a house shot, sport pattern, whatever you struggle at, whatever you're good. I mean, you could have an array of knowledge, you know, and things that are just going to make you better over the course of, let's say, a season that will, you know, let's say rival a league season. As long as you track it, and as long as you show up, and as long as you put in the work, in my mind, there's really no difference of how you can get better. And like you said, not everyone has that availability. You know, some people pick the day off that they have in the week to go to their league, and I get that. But at the end of the day, GameWorks, I know, offers this. I think it's Friday from 4 p.m. all the way to 7, and then on the weekends all day. So that's 2.5 days every week that they're offering that rate. So again, that's something that I'm going to be utilizing for the rest of this fall, as I'm going to be converting it into a two-handed bowler. I said that was my last time bowling this past league, just one-handed, but I have to take a step back from that. I know that there's a couple big national tournaments coming up, and I feel like it'd be a little counterproductive to change styles while both of those are coming up in a week. Yeah. But after those, I think that would be the correct time to go, all right, it's time to start learning from step one. So that's what I have going on this fall.
All right. So speaking of these tournaments, tomorrow I'm bowling the SSOSIO tournament. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., I'm going to bowl the last squad before the re-entry squad. Hopefully I make it the first try. If not, I'm gonna bowl the re-entry squad. See what it is. I had a practice session the other day and I felt really sharp. I felt like that was the closest I felt to being able to like feel confident that I could shoot 300 without like it being a struggle, like, or getting lucky. I felt like that was the closest I've been to being able to be like, okay, if the pins fall, I'm good. It's gonna happen. So I feel like going into tomorrow, I'm in a really good spot. Hopefully it feels the same as the other day. And also we have ABT and TAT next week. full 15K for first. I don't know how the price run breaks down after that, but that looks, those both look really good. I'm probably going to bowl Wednesday for TAT. I have to look at the ABT schedule again, but I'll probably bowl Saturday for ABT and get all my squads in, try to qualify. I'm trying to keep myself to a maximum of 2 entries so I don't screw myself up financially. Just trying to bowl these tournaments because there's so many going on. So I'm going to bowl 2 times tomorrow, 2 times at TAT, and 2 times at ABT. Hopefully it's only 1 time every time, but you know how that goes.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
And so that's going to be what my week looks like next week, and hopefully we get some good scores. I don't know how TAT's going to look out. It's open to everybody, so that'll be interesting. ABT is not open to everybody, so it'll be a different field way the lanes are played and everything, so it'll be an interesting 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I figure that would be, with all the different tournaments coming up next week, that would be kind of the follow-up of this one, you know, a recap of summer, what we do have going on this fall, and then how this next week goes. So be sure to look forward to the recap of all the different tournaments that are coming up. Other than that, I'm going to be doing the same tournaments as well. I don't know if I'm going to be doing 2 per. I'm probably just going to try 1 entry per. That keeps me kind of honest and really has me, I don't know, it keeps me focused on, if I intend on being the best, then do it in that entry that I do it. Now, you know, because there's 2 tournaments, that's why I figure I'm just going to do 1. Figure give myself a shot in each one. Now, I didn't know that there was going to be a kind of a field difference. So is there going to be more pros in the TAT one versus the ABT? Is that the difference?
Yeah, so I don't know if they're going to actually show up, but the TAT one is open to everyone. And since it's a 15K prize fund, and I don't even know if there's any pro tournaments going on next week, but I think there's going to be quite a few of them bowling next week. Like, I already saw Marshall Kent bowling the SSO-SIO tournament on the Las Vegas Bowlers page. I saw him, David Haynes, and they were, I don't know how hard it is, but I'm assuming we're going to have a lot more faces show up next week when it's 15K and not 5.
You know, and that's a good thing, because initially when you hear that there's going to be more competitive bowlers at one, maybe less competitive bowlers at the other, you think, all right, like, obviously it's a no-brainer, go to ABT. But, you know, here's how I look at it. You just have to have a little strategy with these tournaments. So if you're telling me that TAT tournament is going to have a potentially higher field, the way I look at it is I'll probably try to qualify for ABT first and kind of let the scores for TAT show themselves, see where the bar is, see what is necessary to qualify, see if there are any big names showing up in the first couple days. And then, you know, if the scores are high, you see a couple pros, still giving yourself that chance to compete and putting your name down against a lot of these guys. Because essentially, you know, as a competitor, as a bowler, you want to know where your name stacks up against some of the best. So, yep. You know, but again, that's useful knowledge to have, to know that, okay, cool, Jacob Buttrup showed up and he brought, you know, 10 urethanes and he didn't miss, and, you know, X, Y, and Z, versus if no one shows up and you go, all right, cool, I'm going to go with my approach this way. So based off of you telling me that, I'm just going to kind of maybe take a backseat to TAT, let that roll and probably show up the last day or two and kind of go with it that way. But so still,
I also want to let you know, and also the audience know, that TAT works a little differently than normal tournaments, where each like average range is in its own field. So you're not bowling those guys till the very finals, where it's down to whatever you have to do to beat them at the finals to win the thing. So you're in the running if you're bowling against them, but if you're not on their level, then you're not bowling against them.
Okay, right. So ABT is almost randomized depending on who and when shows up for your block. TAT is more structured on the block, but in the group per block, right?
Yeah. So, okay. Like, there's an open division, and that's where all the pros will be bowling. And then there's the 219 and under, and then, like, the RNF. There's a whole bunch of different divisions. I can't think of them all off the top of my head. But basically, all those divisions run the ladder, and then all the last people from each division bowl each other in the finals.
So let's say, for example, you know, in the below 180 division, is that a division?
I don't know the divisions off the top of my head.
Okay, but so I'm pretty sure
there's a range like that.
Let's just say in the lower handicap division, let's say that the cut scores are between, you know, if you average a 180, 190 scratch, you're going to do okay. You can look at that after a day or two and go, okay, cool, maybe I'll just use urethane to qualify. And then as the tournament develops, you can look at some of the other pro scores and go, wow, their scores are in the, you know, like, if not, urethane's not going to cut it. So you might be able to have a strategy to get past the first step and get past that first tier, but then also have to have a strategy to compete with the bigger dogs. But at the end of the day, it comes down to repeatability, shot repeatability. So,
yep. But the one thing that you got to take in mind that can help you or could hurt you is who you're bowling with. Because, like, if you bowl with a pro, they can make the lanes easier for you if you know what you're doing. But if you bowl with, like, an amateur, they can make your life miserable because they're throwing it a weird way or a certain way that up your type of bowling. And it's all variables to take into consideration. So it could be, tack could end up being easier depending on who you bowl with, because you have a better chance of bowling with someone who knows what they're doing.
Right. Yeah. At the end of the day, you got to put your pennies in all the pots and see what sprouts. But you got to also prioritize when and where you're going to do all these things, because usually these tournaments aren't stacked on top of each other like this. Or unless they are, is this common?
So a lot of tournaments try to, like, make it so that you can bowl each other at the same time, so they don't make it so they're fighting each other. Instead, they're working together. So it gives people more incentive to come out to Vegas or wherever they're doing them, that they have multiple chances to make money versus them coming for just one turn and then having to go somewhere else for another tournament. They try to stack them like this, and that's usually how ABT and TAT have ran their things. They've run them, like, stacked like this. And this year we were supposed to have a third tournament, but that fell through.
Dude, they have a lot of
side tournaments that come into town and bowl at different houses that run till the Nationals is over.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. So one of the things that I'm going to be trying to focus on this fall is one of my high goals, is having a better idea of where my line is. There's this app. Let me get you the app name. The app is called 10 Pin Toolkit. And I just downloaded it. It gives me the ability to find out my ball speed and track where my line is. So a lot of times where I think that I'm, like, having the ball go, it's not the proper line. Like, I'm not lined up properly. So this app is helping me see that. So that's one of the goals that I have, as far as just getting the proper path to the pocket and not trying to create my own path. You know, there's no need to recreate the wheel if there's tools there that kind of get me there. So that's one thing that I'm focusing on as far as, like, goal or score wise, paper wise. If I'm at, like, a 167, I really want to get to a 180 by the end of the fall. And I want to be doing that with my two-handed game after this week. I really want to just, like I said, get low, work on projecting it out, work on that no step to one step. I even saw, what was it, Phil Placco. He was doing a video of that on Instagram. And the guy knows how to bowl. Like, he was doing it two-handed and one-handed. And he was just doing no steps. And he had this setup. And the setup, it was almost like it was a split setup, but it was set up to where if you hit the split, you're essentially going to strike every time. And I thought, wow, he's really lasering in on where he wants that ball to go. And it was just a quick little 5-second post that I saw, but I thought, you know what, I might have to go over to Santa Fe at some point to get some actual Specto data. This app is pretty cool, but I do want to get some real Specto data, have some more actual like set on paper, like this is my rev rate, this is my ball speed, this is my line, and have that like, cool, I'm 180 to 190, that's where I'm at, and I'm ready to go starting the new year. That's my goals.
Nice. So my goals for the year, or for the rest of the year, I guess, are one, I want to try to be averaging 210 in this sport shot league. I feel like where I left off in that sport shot league, I had the possibility of averaging like 205 or higher. And like, I was shooting some big scores. It's just like, I had like hiccup nights where I just shot horrible, like horrendous. I went from averaging like shooting 670 to 700. And then the next week I shoot 540 or something. It was bad, but it's just about getting those bad nights out of there. And that's the big thing I'm hoping to do this fall season, because or this rest of the year, because I feel like it'll help me going into tournaments in the future. My another goal I have is to try to cash in a scratch tournament within the rest of the season. I'm not sure how many more scratch tournaments there will be run, but basically I want to just get prepped, because I'm going to try to bowl a lot of PBA stuff next year. I'm definitely bowling both the US Open and the Masters, and then I'm going to see what else I can bowl. I'm definitely going to bowl some regionals and stuff, but that's basically my plan. I want to get better for those things coming up next year. So my goals this year are just to try to take the steps needed to get to that level, so that I'm poised to do something next year, hopefully bigger than I can imagine.
Yeah, man, I think if you stick to the plan that you have mapped out, I think there's really no way you're going to fail. So looks like we both have some work ahead of us, and we will follow up with everyone and let people know how the tournaments went, either they, you know, good, the bad, the ugly, all that. And until then, we will talk to them next time.
All right.
All right, cool, bro. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Hey guys, if you took the time to make it all the way through to the end of the podcast, just want to say thank you again for taking time out of your day to listen to what we got going on in our world. Sometimes a lot of the things that we talk about maybe can get long-winded, or maybe you can go without hearing them. But for us, you know, at the very base level, this is a way for us to have an audio journal and keep ourselves honest with the things that we want to obtain to, the higher goals, better bowler, and so on and so forth. So someone asked me what was the reason behind doing this podcast. I had someone come up to me at the most recent league that I had. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just to, like I said, have a true audio journal of what we're doing, where we're doing it. And at the end of the day, just to kind of reach out to the community and see what else other people are doing with their games. So hopefully, you know, you put two heads together, you get a better idea. Well, you put a whole city of heads together and hopefully have a grand idea. So that's the goal, that's the plan, and hopefully you guys enjoy these podcasts. We're gonna have another one coming out next week. Until then, hope you guys have an awesome week.